morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you together on this Wednesday, October 14th. Trusting that you're having a fantastic morning so far. Maybe you're sipping on coffee, looking at the headlines like I did this morning of the Statesman Journal. Kind of interesting headlines at the top of the fold. There is talk here that FEMA has paid over $17 million to Oregonians so far. And a couple weeks ago, we had, I think it was about a week and a half ago, we had a FEMA on the line talking to us about all the resources, and there's a looming deadline on the 16th to apply for help getting your hazardous materials off of your land if you are a victim of fire. And I'm going to replay that broadcast. I think it's critically important. I'm going to play that in the second hour tomorrow because there's some great information. It's a great resource, and put it up on the podcast so you have an opportunity to spread that. The good news and the help and the resources out to who you may know that might be affected by fire and they're in the middle of it. And so maybe they're not hanging out on the radio as much or online. And so I think those resources are really important. And then also in the headline on the bottom of the front page, on the bottom of the fold, is information. I just think it's interesting. I think in this time with the pandemic, and certainly now with the wildfires that have affected so many families and the rippling effects and how all of us have been impacted financially, certainly business owners have been impacted. Here is something the city council decided to do. The Salem City Council approves water utility bill increases. Salem residents will see an increase in their utility bills starting next year. Salem City Council voted Monday night to increase water and wastewater rates by 3% and the stormwater services rate by 5% annually. The approval rate increases will go into effect January 2021 and January 2022. The vote occurred after presentation by Peter Ferendez, Director of Public Works for the city. Public testimony and discussion among city council members, all of the councilors and the mayor voted for the increase. Councilor Jackie Leung voted against it. And I do think, you know, when we're talking about elections and we're talking about the best government is your local government, the people that we are electing in city council as mayor, as our commissioners, as our House of Representatives and our state senators, all the way up to Congress, senators and House of Representatives, you know, all of these folks are making decisions that impact us directly, whether we recognize it or not. And so we need to be good students. We need to be aware of who it is that we're electing, and we need to have a relationship with them. We need to have access to them, and we need to know their values. And if they believe, if they're a government, in my personal opinion, if they're wanting to go to government because they feel that they know better and they don't want our input, that's troubling to me. And so we're going to continue the discussion as we move along over the next couple weeks towards the election, because now registration is closed. And so now we want to track. They'll be mailing out ballots, I believe, today or tomorrow, and we'll start getting our ballots. And again, we're going to be talking about these issues because it's very, very important. And one of the things I'm going to do on Friday is go through kind of with Cynthia's agreed with me, and we're going to go through the voter pamphlet, kind of just kind of open it up and go through it. I think that'll be very valuable to you and I. And continuing the discussion, I think it's something very important, too, to be able to understand how to understand the media and the information that's being just thrown to us every day, and how do we know if it's truthful or not. And I am blessed to bring alongside us this morning in conversation by phone, Jeff Reynolds. Jeff is on the line with me. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Susan. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so glad to have you along this morning, and I have just enjoyed your perspective, your writings with PJ Media, and have had you in the studio prior, and I just love your perspective. You help us understand kind of the minutiae of media and kind of get the facts out there. And I thought it'd be good for you and I to have a discussion a little bit on media literacy today, because we know it's going to get crazy over the next few weeks. And I think we could have a real frank conversation about where we're at and what this could look like, our Oregon, our nation, if we don't step up and do what we need to do. Right, Jeff?
Absolutely, and I really enjoy the opportunity every time I get to talk to you. It's always an informative conversation on both sides, so really appreciate the opportunity, and media is insane right now, just like pretty much every aspect of our society, so it's kind of hard to know where to turn and how to filter out all the misinformation and disinformation and vote in a way that's actually informed.
Yes, and so give us a little background. Give us, for those that don't know who you are, how you got to where you're at now today. You love Oregon, and you've been involved in Oregon and Oregon politics. You have a history. You know history around here. Give us that information.
Yeah, so I started out with Tea Party movement in 2008, 2009, and I just sort of got sucked into the political vortex, so... It turned into a career. It's turned into a career in writing and journalism and blogging and activism and grassroots organizing and candidate support and consulting and all kinds of stuff like that. So I didn't know anything from anything when I got started, and now I've tried to learn as much as I can over the decade that I've been involved so that I can help others stay involved as well.
Well, and what I like about you, Jeff, in the short amount of time I've had a chance to get to know you, you and I have a mutual friend, Dina. That was a feather in my cap right away, going, Dina, yes, this guy's good. He's been Dina approved. And the beautiful thing about that is what I appreciate about you, you really are a treasure to Oregon, and you're treasure to conservatives, because you're kind of the go-to guy. You know history enough, and yet you can see kind of the strengths and the opportunities for growth, right, in our Republican Party and some of the challenges. And so I believe you kind of have your finger on, in a sense, of where we've been and where we need to go as a party. And I believe that's a discussion, certainly after we can start having that discussion now, but after November 3rd, it's going to be really evident where we need to go, right? And so.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you know, the biggest thing that I've focused on, I think, you know, with all the stuff that I'm involved in, and I have my finger in a lot of different pies, but my biggest focus has always been networking and just getting to know people, getting to know the landscape and figuring out which way to go.
Mm-hmm. And that's the key right there. And that's probably why we get along so well, even though we haven't really spent a lot of time. We look at things very similar, that everything is connected and it should be connected for the greater good and for the greater cause, right? And so we've got to find those strengths and look for those opportunities to get stronger in those areas so we can move forward with the message. And it's so confusing right now, Jeff. You know, you have a chance to pour through, and you're getting even more than I am probably of resources and leads and things of what's going on and the funny stories. And they're like, oh my gosh, how come they're not talking about this, but they're talking about that? You know, how do we, as just regular citizens, we have this big fire hose of information coming at us. How do we sort through it and figure out what's truthful and what isn't? How do you do that?
Well, and that is a constant struggle even for me. And you know, the more I know, the more of a morass it becomes. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's about core values. And my core values are based around the Constitution. Mm-hmm. So when I got involved in politics, it was all about preserving and protecting the Constitution. And I've never wavered from that stance. And so the U.S. Constitution and the Declaration of Independence are where I turn to when I look at the landscape and I can't tell through the smoke of war what's actually going on.
Mm-hmm. And someone said the other day, I heard, and I don't even remember who, if it was someone, a guest on Levin or Hannity, but they said, really, what's on the ballot this year is the Constitution.
Oh, it's not just the Constitution, but that it very much is on the ballot. It is a referendum on whether we're going to vote for freedom or for Marxist incursion into our liberties. And make no mistake about that, because the left very much wants Marxism to replace our personal liberties, because they don't believe in personal liberties.
It's a philosophy that has been infiltrated into our public school system, into our colleges. It's just been a slow leak that's getting bigger and bigger, or a frog in boiling water. This philosophy has caused this groupthink to shift, and the young minds are just, they don't even have the media literacy skills to evaluate it properly, in my perspective.
Yeah, you know, and that's a really important point, because I continue to do all this research into how they're infiltrating into the schools. I've written one book already on the dark money on the left, talking about how they're literally trying to undermine democracy by pushing a radical agenda with hundreds of billions of dollars that goes into it. But my next book will be about how they're infiltrating into the schools and how they're teaching lies, basically, at earlier and earlier ages. And I'm seeing this now, actually, and I'm up here in the Portland metro area, so my kids are in school, and I'm seeing a lot of that stuff in the public schools as well. And I'm being tipped off by parents who are very concerned about what they're seeing, and it's a much more vast effort than anybody really realizes.
A friend of ours, son, I think he's a seventh grader up in the Newburgh area, and on there they're doing a distance learning at home, and so he's a little more hands-on than he would have been if he was going to class, you know, in seventh grade. And their reading lists and their suggested readings, it was phenomenal. Very troublesome. A lot of homosexuality undertones, a lot of gender neutral undertones, a lot of retraining around the whole racism issue. It wasn't even your classic literature. It wasn't anything you and I would have had on a reading list, you know, for even extra credit or to help us enhance our literary experience. It was appalling, and this parent was like, oh my gosh.
And they really are trying to sexualize our children, and it's a very brazen attempt. And I have information that I'm going to publish here soon that they are deliberately hiding that information from parents in violation of federal law.
Incredible. And I think as we move along this morning, I have a couple other things I want to talk about on the education and the parental thing, but we're going to be going into a break here shortly. We're talking with Jeff Reynolds with PJ Media, and he is an author, he's a dad and a husband, and he's got lots of things going on, and I'm so glad that he's taking the time to hang out with us. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this wonderful Wednesday, right? Lots of events coming up this weekend. Not sure what you have planned, but our friends with Kicking Cancer, they're going to do a loving walk and run. Yes, you can still participate. Kicking-cancer.org. This will take place on Saturday. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Wednesday. Good morning. It's 7:19. We'll be back after this. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. Thank you for hanging out with us on this Wednesday morning. It's cool this morning, only about 49 degrees right here at the KSLM studio, going to warm up to about 61, rain possible today, and looking for the next couple days, sunny tomorrow, about temperature in the 60s. Friday, 68, 67 on Saturday, rain likely over Saturday night into Sunday. So we're kind of in that fallish weather, which I love. I love this crisp, fresh, clean air, and certainly it's a little different than it was 4 weeks ago when we had all the smoke-filled air. Jeff, I'm curious. I've got Jeff Reynolds on the air with me this morning. Thank you so much for joining the conversation, and he is with PJ Media. Jeff, when the fires were happening, talk to me a little bit about how that affected you and your family where you live.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I certainly wasn't nearly as affected as people in Marion County, because I live in Multnomah County. And we were never on an evacuation watch, although it got pretty close. Mm-hmm. I'm in the eastern part of the county, and the Riverside fire that came up through Clackamas County it hit parts of Sandy.
Right.
And they were worried about it jumping Highway 26, and if it did that, then Multnomah County would have been at risk. So it was, you know, even though we weren't on evacuation watch lists of any type, it was definitely go time. You know, and it was the Venus atmosphere with all the smoke and everything, and air quality index that they couldn't even measure. You know, so it was really eerie, and it was really stressful time while we were still trying to get started with the school year,
right?
Distance learning. You know, so it was quite chaotic.
Very chaotic, and it was an interesting time, because I think it made a lot of us kind of evaluate what is our evacuation plan. You know, if we were in those situations where we got the knock on the door at 1:30 in the morning, what are we going to do about this, you know? And so with your history here in Oregon, I don't know, were you in the area or around when they had the Mount St. Helens issue?
No, that was before my time.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother, I was living on the East Coast at the time. I was in middle school, and my grandmother used to send me little Tupperware containers full of ash.
Yes.
Just to tell us what was going on.
And it kind of reminded me, because I lived here at the time, and we were probably about the same age, and I remember riding on the car, you know, 1980 or whatever, and all the ash, even here in Salem. And it kind of reminded me of that time, although it didn't linger for so long. And it was interesting for me because it just seemed like it never went away. You know, it was so thick, and you couldn't get away from it, even inside, in the house, in the office. You know, it was just thick. And so thankful that we are through that and on the other side. But having been in Oregon and watching the political issues all this time, we talk about this whole climate change, and this whole, you know, we're going to blame this on climate change. What's the truth in all of that, Jeff?
Oh, that's very interesting, because there is actually no science behind the claims that climate change is causing any extended fires. In fact, if you talk to climate scientists who will be honest with you, they'll tell you that these fires, while extreme, are not out of the ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the wind event that kicked everything up on Labor Day weekend, while extreme, also was not out of the ordinary. So,
right.
Our temperatures have not actually risen for quite some time. So the idea that this could be caused by climate change is more, it's more obfuscation by our politicians who are looking to take advantage of fear. It's kind of like COVID. They're ginning up fear to take advantage and to expand the power of the government.
That is so very true. And the irony in all of this, I find, Jeff, is the fact that this whole carbon footprint thing, you know, and the atmosphere and our environment and all of this, and all the good that Oregon has done, especially because of our timber industry, because of all the trees, we have an incredible clean air in this area. All of that in just a few short weeks, because of the mismanagement of our forests and the lack of opportunity to take care of them as they're designed to be taken care of by the government. And they put it as some kind of environmental protection. Actually, it's environmental destruction. It's interesting how they twist things to make it sound better than it really is, don't they?
Yeah, you know, and I like to compare and contrast Oregon with the state of Maine, which is very heavily forested. It's very heavily harvested for timber.
Mm-hmm.
And it's similar. It's not the same species of of conifer. So it's, there are some variables to work in there, but the main point is that the vast majority of Oregon is publicly owned,
right,
with some private-owned timberland, where the vast majority of Maine is privately owned and taken care of by the landowners who have a vested interest in making sure that their forests are healthy, and they barely have any forest fires.
Right, and their coastal line and everything's very similar, rocky coastline like we have in Oregon. So I think that's a really good comparison. And I think as we move forward, it's good that our listeners understand the talking points so we can talk effectively, especially with our elected leaders, about these issues that are impacting us day after day, and ask them the hard questions. The incumbents that have been there forever, all of a sudden you're going to take care of this. How come you haven't been? And this is a great opportunity for us to look for someone to come in who may do something different, right?
Yeah, let's hope so, because the supermajorities of Democrats in both houses of our legislature have really run roughshod over the rural areas in particular of Oregon, and more generally, just everything outside of the I-5 corridor.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they don't even consider representation from other parts of the state important, and they shut Republicans or anybody out from negotiations or committee hearings or anything like that. We just did a Facebook Live event with State Senator Denise Bowles for the Oregon Republican Party on Monday evening, and she told a horror story about how they were completely shut out of any negotiations on the bills,
mm-hmm.
which then, you know, meant that they had no choice but to walk out to deny quorum, so that they could, you know, at least stop some of the worst stuff. Because if you're not going to get representation from every part of the state, then it's not going to be a good bill for the state of Oregon.
That's exactly right. And I want us to dig into some of this details as far as the candidates and how we can make a difference in our state house coming up. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Wonderful conversation this morning with Jeff Reynolds, PJ Media. We'll be back after this. It's a wonderful day. 7:35. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio. Here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you with news that you can use. I want to remind you, and I want to say thank you. Got some great feedback over the last few days of the show topics and the things that interest you. I love that. Thank you for sending me emails. Send me an email at Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y, at KSLM.news. In fact, yesterday it was so cool. I had a listener call me and anonymously pledge for my efforts. I'm going to team up with a group of folks, and we're going to do the golf-a-thon in Hillsboro at Topgolf on behalf of Kicking Cancer. Jeff Reynolds, have you ever been to Topgolf there?
You know, I've been by there. It looks spectacular. I'm not a golfer, so
me either.
I'm kind of a I'm an odd fit for politics, but no, I've never golfed before.
I've done, like, with my kids when they were little, like the putt-putt stuff. I've never done anything, let alone be at a driving range. But my understanding, this is like, the experience is like hitting golf balls, but it's like bowling, and there's food, and there's all kinds of fun, and I'm all for that. You know, the social part, you know. I'll probably be one of these that's like, okay, Stacey, get over here. You've got 100 of them to hit, you know. And apparently, if you get them, like, in a targeted area, you get points and you can win prizes, let alone that this is an effort that we're raising funds for Kicking Cancer. I'm really excited about that. And so it's fun to connect with the listeners, and we're excited for Kicking Cancer on November 1st, this big
golf-a-thon that's going on. And if you want to be a part of that, anybody wants to help sponsor or be a part of that, it's a fantastic cause. You can go to kicking-cancer.org/golf-a-thon. And they're having a wonderful festivity this weekend with memorializing those that are contending with cancer, those that we have lost to cancer in our lives, with the walk at the Volcano Stadium. And that's kicking off at the check-ins at 8 and kicking off at 9 a.m. So if folks are looking for something fun to do this weekend, it looks like it'll be sunny in the morning that on Saturday. So that's something to put on your calendar. And we're continuing the conversation with Jeff Reynolds with PJ Media. And he is a wonderful resource here in Oregon. He really has his hand on and perspective about what's going on and what's been going on. And Jeff, how do we help our listeners? How do we help our neighbors and our friends kind of get through the minutiae of all of the disinformation? And we talked right before the break about Senator Bowles. She is a classmate of mine. I went to high school with her. We both graduated from Sprague High School, fellow Olympian. She is someone who has been consistent in all of her life. Her and I were in choir together. She's always been super cool, super nice, a real and a leader wherever she's at. And when I opened up a YouTube to look something up and started watching it, there was an attack ad on her about the whole walkout. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's the only thing they could get on her, first of all, because she is so good at listening, no matter what party you're affiliated with, no matter what your background is, she is fair. And it's so unfair in my mind that the candidate running against her, who, by the way, is supposed to be a ordained minister, which I think, wow, where's the love there, you know, to do hateful ads like that. But I think Senator Bowles has done such a wonderful job for our community, and we want her there again. And she is spot on. What she mentioned, what you talked about in your discussion with her, is what I saw when I first got here, where everything at the State House is it's almost like pre-scripted. It's almost like a Broadway play. Okay, here's the role. This is what you're going to do. And anybody that wants to come in and add to it or add to the discussion or bring in their perspective, if they're not a Democrat, they don't get to play.
No, that's really true. And that was especially true in these emergency sessions that were called by Governor Kate Brown over the summer. Because of COVID, they used that as an excuse to block out people. And the enduring photo op from that whole thing is when they slammed shut those giant metal doors and did not allow the public into the people's house.
Right.
And that, to me, is unconscionable. The fact that people could not testify, the regular voters could not testify, could not watch committee meetings, could not participate in the legislative process as is required by the Constitution. So the fact that people got shut out of the process is just more indication that these supermajorities are running roughshod over the rights of most Oregonians by not allowing them to participate in the process.
And if our listeners and our friends and family aren't educated on this, they have no idea how it could get worse if we don't step up and intervene in this election by voting Republicans into these seats and maintaining the Republican seats that we have. We are just votes away from not having any power at all. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true, because if they make any gains at all on the Democratic side, they'll increase their supermajority to the point where they would have automatic quorum, and the Republicans couldn't even walk out to deny quorum to stop the process. So they can change the rules whenever they want and completely shut out anybody that doesn't agree with their agenda. In fact, they have attacked members of their own party who don't toe the party line. I'm aware of a couple of legislators who have been viciously attacked by the speaker because they voted wrong on a particular bill. And now there are more progressive candidates being run against them, or at least in the primary they were. So these people have an agenda, and they have a very vicious way of pushing their agenda forward. So supermajorities of either party are not good for the liberties of Oregonians.
Well, and we have such an incredible, and I think the story isn't told enough. We have an incredible opportunity to really send a message to Kate Brown. I know we were 3,000 signatures short for a recall, but in a sense, we have an opportunity to, and this word might sound really harsh, but we have an opportunity to castrate her power up at the State House by electing Republicans in these seats, maintaining our Republican seats. It will be very difficult. She will have to come to the table, and the Democrats would have to come to the table and start working government as it's intended, I believe, by our founding fathers.
Without question, that's exactly what they intended. They intended gridlock. They intended it to go slowly. They intended it to be a deliberative process that brought in representation from every aspect of society. And when you have people, when you give people unlimited power, they will inevitably become dictators. And so the good news is that I think we have actual pickup opportunities in several House and Senate districts for the Republicans. So I think that we will actually end the supermajority when November 3rd comes around. That's my fervent hope.
Well, and I think all the rioting and all of the fear, the law and order issue is a huge issue. And I'm really shocked that it's underutilized, that message, with our candidates. And if any of our candidates are listening today, or if you know any of the candidates, you know, be sure to talk to them about this law and order issue. I think and the schools issue, you know, because as far as budget goes and things like that from the State House, that they have their hand on these schools and these districts. And so even though they're not the Department of, you know, they oversee the Department of Education and they're not individual school districts in the communities, they still have a role to play. And it's interesting how they try to sidestep that, you know, because they don't want to interfere with local school districts. It's like, really? You'll interfere with other things locally, you know? So this election, every election is important, but don't you think this is like just so much more so than ever in history?
Yeah, I think from the top of the ticket on down, from the presidential election to federal offices to statewide offices, like Kim Thatcher running for Secretary of State and Jeff Goodman running for treasurer, all the way to state House and Senate districts, this is the most consequential election probably since the Civil War.
Yes.
Because liberty literally is on the ballot right now.
It really is.
And you talk about law and order, and I want to go back to Senator Bold, because her opponent is actually a proponent of defunding the police. I don't think a lot of people know that.
Wow.
But she's a full-on Portland-style progressive who believes that police are the problem, not the solution. And I don't think that plays well in that particular district. So I think that the more people know about that, the more they should understand that Denise Bowles is the right choice for that district.
And the challenges that our candidates have had, in particular raising money, because typically, and our listeners probably know this because we're kind of talking to the choir here, but typically Republicans are supported by business and small businesses and community people. Typically, Democrats are supported by unions and outside state interest groups and PACs and things like that. So there is a huge, when you go and look at the who's paying, who's supporting these candidates, it's a huge contrast. And so our Republican candidates have had to be really creative in their ways to connect with the voters, you know, and letting them know their messages. And I find it interesting that we see so much on TV media and on our video media like YouTube and things, the sponsor ads in this particular race. And you know that they're targeting, there are strategies to target this race. And we need to get behind Senator Bowles. And we need to do what we can do, whether it be volunteering, finances, all of that. I think these are really important. All of our candidates need our help. And we can be effective. And we could team up by sending messages to our friends and family, making sure that they know the issues and find out where they're at. And if they need more information, you know, get it to them. Don't you agree, Jeff?
Without question. And I think that I'd like to give a plug for the Oregon Republican Party. Go to the Facebook page for the Oregon Republican Party.
Good.
We did this interview with Denise on Monday. Check it out. It's very important. I've got more details about that when we come back.
Yes, I want to hear a little more about that. And we'll even share your post with our friends on Facebook, too. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use. On this Wednesday and every day, we're getting educated and informed about this election coming up. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back. Good morning to you. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Don't forget to like us on Facebook. We're going to put some links up on Facebook. And I think this is really, really important that we share the information about these candidates through social media. Most people are connected somehow, some way to social media. And Jeff Reynolds is on the air with me today. And Jeff, I'm telling you, the good thing for social media with all this lockdown stuff, right, and Zoom meetings and things that we can help get people alerted to what's going on. And you've been doing some stuff with the Oregon Republican Party. Talk a little more about that.
Yeah, you know, one of a few good things that has come from these COVID lockdowns is that we've been forced into a situation where we have to explore technology. And Oregon is such a huge state; it's the sixth largest state, and you know, to have meetings like that in person is sometimes, you know, there's a lot of travel involved. If we can do it electronically, we can reach a heck of a lot more people in less time. And so That's what we've been doing with the Oregon Republican Party. We created a program called Captive Audience because we're all captive in our homes now. So
right.
We talk on an almost nightly basis at 6 p.m. on the Oregon Facebook page. We go to Facebook Live, Oregon Republican Party, I should say. And we did this talk on Monday with Denise Bowles, and she really went into a lot of detail about the abuses of the supermajority in the legislature. So I would definitely encourage you to check it out. And I wanted to say also that the Oregon Republican Party, I was just on a conference call the other night, and we're starting to get some donations into the party that we're able to turn around and help candidates with.
Good.
And, it was a very encouraging sign that people are really starting to get involved and really starting to get enthusiastic about helping Republican candidates, the party, and all of that stuff. And we've gotten huge numbers on our Facebook Live events. So there's really a lot of enthusiasm for Republican candidates in Oregon.
Well, and this is an opportunity in my mind to really, again, after November 3rd, regardless of where we end up, we have an opportunity as a party, Republican Party, to really evaluate where we're at, where do we want to go, and start training up and really getting that enthusiasm, just continue to ride the wave, right, and continue to see things changed here in Oregon all the way up to the Senate and the House and to president. And we have some pretty interesting things going on with our Senate race and our in 5th District where I'm at with Amy Ryan Courser. You know, both Joey Perkins and Amy Ryan Courser, you know, they're the underdogs by a long shot because they don't have the millions of dollars. And what if listeners don't understand how this works, how the political game works nationally, you have a threshold you have to raise before the national parties get involved with your race. And if you can't raise that fund locally, they stay out and go to other areas. But what this Florida dude guy, have you watched his polling at all on Twitter? Jeff, I'm curious.
I have. And I'm also curious because I haven't seen any of the crosstabs on that. So I'd really like to dig into the data. But, he's got some interesting stuff to say. I'm a naturally skeptical guy, so I have to question the legitimacy. But if he's right, you know, there's really some interesting things going on. And I know that some of our candidates are doing very well.
Mm-hmm.
I think Amy Ryan Courser is a real threat to Kirk Schrader. But I also think that, across our congressional districts, Alex Scarlatos is probably going to take out Peter DeFazio, and that's a huge deal. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's an even district that's been represented by a far left radical for 33 years.
Mm.
So when that happens, that's going to be a sea change in Oregon politics. Speaking of even races, I have to go back to these polls again because I think the Democrat voter registration advantage is something like 200 voters. So it's as even a district as it possibly can get.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really important that people get out and vote their values, whatever district they're in.
Yes. And it's interesting because this election is, if people don't know the opposing candidate to the incumbent in when we're talking about the Senate and the House in D.C., those national races, I think people are voting against the incumbent in that level. They're just tired of the out of touch. They've been there forever, you know. And then when we look down to our local races, if we have incumbents that are doing their job, and they're responding and they're connecting with their constituents, you know, they have earned their right to stay, right, in my opinion. And if they line up with your values, and I think there's some truth in that, Jeff, what you said, vote your values and vote. Our votes make a difference, don't they?
Yeah, they absolutely do. And Kate Brown is very fond of recalling that her first election that she ever participated in, she won by 7 votes.
Hmm.
So it's, you know, when you say your vote doesn't count, it absolutely does. And you got to vote all the way down the ticket, not just for Donald Trump, but for everybody down the ticket.
Yes. And we have the power. The people still have the power. And I think the media and everybody else wants to say, you know, that we're not really, we have no power. And when they throw these inflated polls towards us, you and I know, because we know media literacy and we know that they're trying to discourage people from turning out, right? That's all they got. So they try to make these big polls about Biden saying, oh, he's ahead by so far. Based on what? Based on the 10 people you evaluated? I mean, it's like, and yet, and so there's some strategy going on, and we have to be smart about this and clear through the chaos to the truth.
That's exactly right. And you brought up a very good point that these push polls that they put out, they call it a push poll because they have a specific goal in mind when they conduct the poll, and they structure the poll to get to that conclusion. So these national polls showing Biden up by however many points are designed to suppress turnout by Trump voters, by Republican voters. And they do this all the time, and they should be ignored completely. In fact, I think polling has ruined our body politic. I think that we need to do a better job of doing message polling and understanding what the voters actually want from their candidates.
That's so true. And Jeff, I certainly appreciate your time hanging out this morning and talking through these issues. You know, it may be good to have you come back like the day after the election. And so you and I can kind of go through the stuff, you know, and help our listeners. Maybe we can look at that date, November 4th, right? Where we can talk through some of these issues. We'll see. A lot can change between now and then, as we know.
I was going to say, you know, I'm in Portland here, so I may not survive election night. So, you know, pray for me.
Oh, definitely keep you in our prayer. Keeping the fort down there in Portland. I'm so glad that you are. Now, you have a website, and of course, you write, you have books. We didn't even get into any of that, but tell us how people can get a hold of you.
Sure, absolutely. The fastest way is on Facebook. My author page, Jeff Reynolds Author. Search that in the search bar, and I'll pop right up. And then my website is whoownsthedems.com. That's where you can pick up my book, Behind the Curtain, Inside the Network of Progressive Billionaires.
That's awesome. Well, so thankful, Jeff, for you joining me this morning. Thank you. You have a great day.
You too. Thanks so much.
You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Wednesday. We're going to be going into hour two here real soon. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll be back after this.
morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you. We're in hour two of this wonderful Wednesday morning. I'm Stacy Ann. It's 8:06 in the morning. 49 degrees. It's a little cool this morning, but there's no rain right now. That's kind of nice. Rain in the forecast today. Temperature getting up to 61 degrees. We're glad to have you tuning in to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Want to remind you that we stream live at KSLM.news, and this morning show, both hours are recorded, and we put them back up on our podcast so you can share with your friends. And that's particularly important as we're in this election season. That last hour with Jeff Reynolds was powerful, helping us understand and how to get through all of the minutiae of information and all the disinformation that's out there and how we can make sound decisions for the candidates that if they're elected and they're in the state house or they're in our commission or they're in our city council, they're making day-to-day decisions that you may not be aware of, but they're affecting us, particularly when they have fee increases and taxes. And now, as we think about the rebuilding from the fires, you know, all the governmental oversight and all the hoops that people will have to jump through just to rebuild their own homes on their own property. These are things that are important. And who we put in the state house, who we put in these positions locally, even on our school boards. There's so much going on right now with the Salem-Keizer school boards and our schools and the distance learning and the parents that are frustrated and overwhelmed and a lot going on. And I think that one of the answers and one of the solutions immediately is this election. We can make a difference. You and I, yep, together we can make a difference. And so in an effort to continue to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you, we are working at bringing people in over the next couple weeks that'll help us, the voters, be empowered with the information that we can use. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to have a powerful interview with a gal. Her name is Dr. Linda Lee Tarver, and she is incredible. She is a woman of faith, and she's a Christian teacher, leader. She's a married mother of two, author, and she is a Republican activist. She's a part of the National Political Motivational Speaker Team. She is the past president of the Republican Women's Federation in Michigan, so she's comes from Michigan, so she has an interesting perspective with that. But she's also a part of the National Advisory Board and member of Black Voices for Trump. So she has an incredible, powerful story about her dad and them fleeing from Alabama when they were kids and moving up to Michigan because of the racism and because of what their family experienced with the lynching of her uncle and the threat of that in her own family's life. And it's interesting because she is a powerful mover within the Republican Party and a great leader. And I think you're going to really enjoy the conversation tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Want to thank Bill Sunderland, Country Financial Sunderland Agency, for being a sponsor of the morning show. SunderlandAgency.com. You can learn more about him. You can give him a call at 503-885-0789. I know he'd love to help you with any of your insurance or financial planning needs. Transitioning now, this morning in last hour, we had someone in the studio via phone. Now I have someone live in the studio with me, and I'm really excited because he's been here before, and he is actually someone I can personally vote for, so I'm kind of excited about that, and he is running for the state representative spot, the 21st district. That's where I live, so it's in the neighborhood. We have Jack L. Esp in the studio, Republican candidate for 21st district state representative. Good morning, Jack. How are you?
Good morning, Stacy.
Oh, so glad to have you here. And look at you all dressed up with your Marion County Republican shirt. Elect me, right? Yeah, I'm the guy.
I am.
I got the voter guide. And the voter's pamphlet, I guess they call it, Oregon general election. And actually, Cynthia and I on Friday, we're going to literally go through this page by page and talk about each of the candidates and try to be as neutral as we can. But, you know, we have our favorites, right?
Well, I see a little prejudice here and there.
Well, and it's important that we give our perspective. And that's what's neat about my show is I can have my own opinion, right? And I can talk about it, and you can too. And so talk to us a little bit. Why do you want to be a representative?
To help straighten Oregon out.
Mm-hmm.
For the last years, we have been totally controlled by the Democrat side of the ledger. And you look at our schools, they're less than optimal. Prior to the big tax, we were spending more than the average per student. We were 47th in graduation rate. Ding dong, something's wrong there. But instead of addressing the problem, what did the Democrats legislature do? Their standard outlet. Pass another tax. $1.2 billion without knowing where it was going.
So throw more money. Yeah. That don't you know that that solves it? Throw more money at something.
Well, I was on a forum, the NAACP forum last week, and Brian, we were both on by phone, or actually by computer. And he actually sat there and bragged about how many tax bills he had voted for, including the corporate sales tax. And I just thought, that is a brag point? Who pays those taxes?
Right.
That corporation doesn't pay them. Yeah, they write the check to the government, but they pass that expense right down to you and me.
Yep.
And there's no end to it.
Yeah, the cost of goods and services, the things that we enjoy every day, the things that we need every day, the price of that, it inflates. Well, because they have to get the money from somewhere, right?
Yes, and look at, take the timber industry, for example. You follow those sales from standing timber to the retail yard, and those things are tacked 5-6 times through that process.
Wow.
And if it's at 5% tax, 5 times, that's 25% that the price of the goods go up.
So consumers are carrying the burden. And I think, do you think it's their philosophy, the Democrats, to, they're like going after the big corporation, right? To just redistribute the money to the little guy, when really that's not what's happening at all. It's causing the little guy, the average everyday American's price to go up. It's not getting the big corporations.
No, the Democrats are not saying we're getting it from the corporations. They know full good and well. The way things fall down. But they can sell it as the big corporation.
That's right. That's their message.
They know who, excuse this expression, but who they're shafting in the end.
Right, right. And so when you think about becoming the representative and representing your neighbors, your friends, your colleagues, when you get into the state house, you are actually coming up against an incumbent who's been there for how long now?
He's going to complete his 14th year.
14 years, more of the same.
Well, we're almost completed it right now.
And so what is your hope when you get into the state house? What are you hoping to accomplish?
I think the first thing I want to address, or try to address, one person can't do it. It takes a group of people.
Right.
But is the school problem. For example, with this $1.2 billion that they just passed, however it's going to be $800 billion because of the economy slowdown. The first part of that money, the schools didn't know what they're going to do with it when it was passed. They should take a portion of that money right off the bat and do a in-depth study of the Oregon school system and then compare it to the top two or three in the nation and set them down side by side on a table and just look at them and say, oh, well, here's where part of the problem is, and go through that in detail and change it. My own personal belief is Common Core is a big part of it.
Oh, and so that is a part of the curriculum here in the state of Oregon, Common Core. And what you were saying earlier is, where do we rank in graduation rate? Where are schools ranking nationally?
47th.
47th in the nation.
While spending more than the average, national average per student.
Is there a per student amount that they've come up with? Do you know what that is?
It was over $10,000 last time
I saw. Incredible. Which leads me into, and we've had this discussion, and we're going to re-broadcast too, my discussion that I had with Susan Gallagher in regards to what can parents do in this time. And one of the strategies to get the school district's attention is to unenroll your kids, because each child to that district is worth thousands of dollars. And when they're not in the district, those districts don't get the funds, right? And
that
the funds go unused. And there is a strategy. See, that this whole movement of making sure your kids attend school and are there physically, and they'll punish parents if they're not, has really nothing to do with the education quality of the student. It really has to do about the funds. And so again, something else exposed, right?
Correct. I think that we need to look further into the money follows the student.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the student is in public schools gets that money, regardless of what they're teaching.
Mm-hmm.
But if it follows the student, that gives the parent the option to put that student in a private school. They're costly.
Yes.
There's no question. So if we are not spending that money in the public schools, we should transfer that to the private school.
So that's the school choice, giving
right.
parents parental choice of where their kids go to school, and that money will support the schools because the parents are paying the taxes. They have the property and all of that. They should do that. I really like that. And you have a background, and you're retired, but you have a background in finance. You have a background in administration. And after this break, I want us to go into that and talk a little bit about your background that will add value to the House and your role at the State House.
Okay.
So,
one thing, school choice that mm-hmm. needs to be expanded, not just which school the money goes to and the parent does, but in the metropolitan areas
mm-hmm.
where you have a big division in class,
right?
Both financial and race, the parent should have choice of which school to send their student
to. Empowering the family at the local level to make those choices that they know is best for them and their children and their families. I'm all for that. I think that's a great thing. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Want to remind you folks that we have an opportunity to call in if you'd like to be a part of the conversation this morning or have any questions. 503-589-1220. And we've got lots of events, community events happening. If you have something coming up that you want on our community calendar and you want me to talk about it in the morning, certainly send me an email, Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y, at KSLM.news. We'd love to help promote and partner in promoting that. Of course, the 40 Days for Life campaign is going on right now, 40daysforlife.com, right here in Salem, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. at Planned Parenthood. There's a prayer vigil going on through November 1st. And this is an opportunity that we can partner together with like-minded folks. And certainly, as we are evaluating our candidates and coming up, I'm going to ask Jack some questions about where he stands on the life issue. It's important that we have talking points, that we have the information that we need to ask our candidates these critical, crucial questions during this campaign season. We also have a wonderful event coming up Saturday, the Love and Walk Run here with Kicking Cancer. It's an opportunity to honor our loved ones who have been affected by cancer, those that are contending with it currently, and also those that we've lost to cancer. Here's a way to honor them. And so you can get involved. Go to kicking-cancer.org/programs. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Wednesday and every day. Here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you. We'll be back after this. Good morning. Enjoying a wonderful Wednesday with you. Thank you for tuning in. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann. Want to say thank you to Dave and Paige Smith, Realty One Group, Willamette Valley, ready to go above and beyond to serve you with all of your real estate needs. Give them a call, 503-939-7099. Continuing the conversation this morning with Jack L. Esp, and he's running for election for the House seat, Representative 21st District. In fact, that's my district, and so it's fun to have you in the studio, Jack, and it's fun to support you in this race. We talked a little bit of the last segment, why you want to run, and I have some particular issues that are important to me. I've been accused of being a issue voter, you know, and the issue of life is extremely important to me. Where do you stand on the life issue?
I'm endorsed by Oregon Right to Life.
Okay.
I believe life is sacred. Mm-hmm. I believe life begins at conception. So that infant is an infant at conception, not a mass, as his thing. And I believe that goes right through to natural death.
Yes.
I'm against death with dignity and this type of thing.
Yeah, and these are all things that have been opportunities in the legislature to protect life, right?
Yes, and it's a very big issue right now with Barrett's confirmation hearings. Mm-hmm. If you listened to him yesterday, it was repetitively brought up where she would stand.
Well, and it's interesting talking about the confirmation at the Supreme Court level. I was so impressed. I don't know how much of that you got to watch, and I just got to watch little snippets of it. But she would give thorough, thoughtful, respectful answers back, even when they were trying to do gotcha with her, right? And when she was asked what she was using, what was in front of her for notes, that's the part that was so funny, is they're like, what do you have in front of you? What are you using for notes? And she opens up, she just says, I have this notepad that says, you know, United States Senate on the top of it. There's nothing written on it. And they were just, even the Democrats were just amazed. And then to listen to the media recap that was really interesting. They, instead of using it as she talked about, I'm not referring to any notes to talk to you today, they spun it, she's not taking any notes. And I thought, wow, even in that, the media's spinning things, you know. And so when we talk about running for office and these issues, the life issue is extremely important. We know how they've spun that, right? To say it's a woman's right to choose. And the reality is that life at conception is a whole unique, living, separate human being, right? That also has a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness as protected and talked about in our Declaration of Independence, right? And in our Constitution. In the preamble, it talks about not only our lives, but the lives of our future generations. To me, that covers the life of the unborn.
The life of the unborn, realize that's a creation of God.
Exactly.
It's not up to man to artificially terminate it.
Yep, and it's the same place that our rights come from. No matter the color of our skin, our origin, culture, nationality, if you have red hair or not, right? We all are created equal in God's image, yes. And so that's where, that's good to know, Jack, that that's your foundation. That's, in a sense, your base from your decisions that you make, right? Your values.
Yes, and I must mention my opponent, Brian Clem, has an opposite view.
Okay, and I'm guessing, I'll look it up, but I'm guessing he's probably, I was looking through this pamphlet because I think it's extremely important. It doesn't say on here, does it say that is he endorsed by, sometimes they're endorsed by the pro-abortion industry right in there. It doesn't say that in this one, but he definitely is not for protecting life from conception to natural death. Right. On how about Second Amendment? How about bearing arms? Where are you at on that?
I'm a member of the NRA. I carry a concealed weapons permit.
Mm-hmm.
And usually when I'm dressed like this, I'm carrying. Today.
Yeah.
But I think every individual has the right to own and carry a firearm for self-protection, not for going out. Some of these laws, supported by my opponent, to limit guns, to restrict guns, to the point that I can't even have a gun laying at my bedside. Well, under that law, it didn't pass.
Good.
I couldn't have a gun laying beside my bedside unprotected without a trigger lock on it or in a safe. And if somebody breaks into my house, just a minute, I got to go get my gun out of my safe.
Right, right. Wow. And I think it's important that we protect these individual liberties, and it is what makes our nation so incredibly great. And I know that you are for business. You're for entrepreneurship. You're for the individuals who want to start businesses and things. And I know you're a little concerned about how difficult it is here in Oregon as a business owner, right?
I'm more than a little concerned. Business is the life of Oregon. You close a business down, it's not just closing that business down, you've just laid off X number of employees. That's costing the state in business tax revenue, employment tax revenue. So it's a double whammy against the state plus the public. We're running businesses out of this state just like the Democrats ran them out of the U.S. Now, Trump, I shouldn't be on Trump, but in the last 3.5 years, he's brought a lot of those businesses back. We need to do the same thing in Oregon. decrease the taxes directly on businesses, because that's just passed on to the consumer, and decrease the regulations so that businesses can stay in Oregon and employ people to increase the tax revenue to the state without raising taxes.
I agree. And any time that we pull back the hurdles to opening up businesses and entrepreneurship, that makes an economy better. It helps. And when we come alongside, and because of COVID now, because of the wildfires, we have an opportunity in your position. If you're elected in the state house, you have an opportunity to remake some of those areas that have been impacted, right? And pull back some of the crazy regulations and difficulties it is to start or restart a business, right?
Correct. And in this environment, it may be appropriate on certain regulations to temporarily suspend them until we can get back on our feet. So many businesses have had to close. And you tell me why a new business would open up in this environment?
It doesn't make common sense, does it?
No.
It makes it hard. We need to be looking at ways to attract business, attract families to come to our communities and live, and give a good story of why Oregon, why today, right?
Correct.
I think we're having a great discussion this morning. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Thank you for tuning in. If you want to join the conversation, if you have a question, give us a call, 503-589-1220. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Don't forget, you can follow us live streaming at kslm.news. Be our friend on Facebook. Like us, share. We'll have this podcast up later on. You can share with your friends and family. Maybe they're looking at who to vote for in District 21. We'll be back after this. Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. It's 8:35 in the morning, and glad to have you tuning in this morning. We've had a lovely conversation first hour this morning talking with Jeff Reynolds in regards to kind of the media and how important this election is, and getting through all of the disinformation, all the information. It feels sometimes like a big old fire hose just coming out of information at us. And how do we know what's truth, what isn't truth, all of those things. And I think getting to the facts, hearing directly from the candidates, from their own perspective on how, if they're elected, if we hire them, and fire the incumbent or the person that they're what can we expect when we get there? And Jack, I know that you've been active. You're a constituent that's active. You've been politically active. You've held leadership positions. Talk to us a little bit the kinds of things you've done in the past that prepare you to go to the state house to look at the documents and the bills and the financials and things. What's your background?
Well, my basic background is over 45 years in healthcare management and finance and administration of hospitals. During that time, I dealt with the state and federal government extensively with all the regulations going in healthcare. At one point, I think it was Governor Attia asked me to serve on a statewide committee to redo the tax district hospital budget process due to the fact that hospitals were about 98% service revenue, 2% tax revenue, where the budget laws were built up on a reverse factor. Beyond that, I've been active with the Oregon Republican Party State Convention. I helped form the Greater Hermiston Area Tea Party, served as an officer there, served as an officer in the Umatilla County Republican Central Committee. Then, after retirement, we moved over to this area about 5-6 years ago.
Okay.
Since that time, I've become, of course, active in the Marion County Republican Central Committee. But the most important facet on preparing me for legislative service is that for the last 5 years, I've served with Oregon Citizens Lobby, which is a volunteer organization which meets at the Capitol once a week during legislative session. We review the bills. Mm-hmm. We look at them, we tear them apart, analyze them,
right,
and then go talk to the senators and House representatives regarding the bills, what we see in them, both good and bad. Beyond that, we go to the committee hearings and testify. Now, during the evaluation process 2 years ago, I served as chairman of, guess what, the health care committee. And I alone analyzed over 185 bills.
Incredible.
Now, these are all reviewed by somebody else, and we evaluate them, then we judge the voters. Now, how they vote comparison to the five principles of Oregon Citizens Lobby.
Right.
Which is a nonpartisan conservative organization.
That's what I say. There's people from both parties that are conservative on the citizen
Correct.
Group, right?
Beyond both parties. Mm-hmm. Non-aligned voters.
Oh, good.
You know, the whole spectrum.
Good.
In this process, I personally learned, number one, how to analyze a bill.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the bills are revising a previous law.
Right.
And you have to know what the new bill. It may be a 30-page bill, and there may be
two
sentences mm-hmm. that are being changed. And
yes.
when these bills go back up, the rest of that bill is not into consideration. It's mm-hmm. just what the change is.
Right.
And you have to see how that affects, and that may refer to 20 or 30 other laws.
It's the truth, because they're all like built upon and interconnected, almost like a quilt. You know, they have this rippling effect, and you have to look at the big picture. What's beautiful about your experience in the Citizens Lobby is you really have been behind the scenes watching how a bill becomes a law or how you revise a bill. You've been a part of the testifying committees. You've been able to look at how the committee structure works, how it goes to the Senate and the House and then gets vetoed or gets signed on by the governor. You know all of that. The average citizen doesn't understand how that works. I would even say most that are new, even becoming elected or appointed into positions, if they've never served in that role, it's a brand new thing. Having myself, having worked as an advocate and an organizer for American Cancer Society years ago on tobacco-free stuff in South Dakota in the legislature, I learned all of that, and it's so intriguing and so interesting. Now, here's my question. What have you seen as far as the supermajority right now and citizens who maybe oppose these bills, what have you seen that's been disturbing to that maybe the average listener today doesn't understand about that process?
If you don't mind, I want to reverse your question a little bit.
Sure.
From negative to positive.
Mm-hmm.
Last summer, during the regular session, there was a bill up there on forced vaccination
mm-hmm.
where every student must have these vaccinations or they can't go to school, period.
Mm-hmm.
The old Russian community out there, who have up to this point had their head in the sand
mm-hmm.
by their own admission, they didn't vote, they didn't even register, they took up arms on that. And they hit that Capitol the first day with about 50 people.
Wow.
And they pushed with that bill clear through it and killed it.
Good.
Now, that is citizen involvement.
Right.
Now, they took it one step further. After they had that done, they started a voter registration project, and they got the Slavic community to join them,
mm-hmm.
clear up to Portland. They registered over 200,000 new voters.
Incredible. Now, yeah.
That's citizen involvement, and that's what our legislature needs.
And we, the power of the people, we are the people. They're supposed to, we elect folks like yourself, and you represent my interests and things, you know, and the good for the community, right? And I think that's important. That's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
One thing that each voter needs to realize, and that is, I am running for House District 21,
mm-hmm.
which is, I call it the Greater Salem area.
Right.
However, where that's the nucleus of my attention,
mm-hmm.
I'm also representing every other voter in the state of Oregon.
Yes, you are.
And I have to look at what's good for the state as well.
Right, right. That helicopter view, in a sense. You know, where are we going to go from here? And I think getting out and voting and getting folks like yourself in, that's going to be for the people, right? For the people, for not for your own personal resume or your own personal agenda or because you're owned by a lobbyist, right? With these special interest groups. No, you're for the people. And that's a powerful thing. And what's happened in our state house and why it's so important we get out and vote is that a lot of times local citizens' voices are drowned out. You know, you get up there with the supermajority and a bill and a proposal and the hearings all scripted in a sense that it's hard unless you show up with 50 people. You know, sometimes it's a challenge to get even a good listen in on a bill and get perspective. And now the state house is shut down because of COVID. It'll be interesting to see how it opens back up. How do you think that'll happen?
I think our governor will delay it as long as possible.
You think?
Yes. I want to mention one thing back to the public going into the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that really bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
When that group went in there and started going down the hall talking to legislators.
Right.
They'd walk into an office and they'd say, well, are any of you from my district?
Mm.
Well, then I don't have to listen to you.
Right.
Get out of here.
Right.
That's ludicrous, because I said a minute ago, yes, District 21 is my prime interest,
mm-hmm.
but I'm representing the rest of Oregon, too.
That's exactly right. And I've even heard a step further that some of those folks from the Slavic community were asked, are you registered to vote? And when they said no, they're like, well, you know, I go get registered and then I'll listen to you. And I think that's something very interesting. And another reason why, and of course, registration ended yesterday, but I do want our listeners to go in and make sure that their registration's in there because I, you know, who knows with all this last minute mail and everything else. I think it's important that if you're not on the rolls and you look on Oregon SOS.oregon.gov, if you can't get in there and see anything now, you're probably not going to get a ballot. If you haven't gotten a pamphlet already, you're probably not going to get a ballot. And your vote does make a difference, right?
One thing they also need to look at is, what party are you registered to?
Mm-hmm.
Many people I've talked, not many I've talked to, I've heard of,
mm-hmm.
in the primaries, got a ballot from the opposite party.
Oh, wow.
And they checked it out, and they had registered Republican. They'd got previous voting information Republican. Somebody had switched to Democrat.
Wow. That's something that we got to take personal responsibility, and we need to get on it. And I love, there's some great technology out there. We can track our vote. We can take that personal responsibility. Now, you and I talked about kind of the steps. And I'm new to Oregon. This whole voting by mail is kind of strange for me because I believe in 1988 when I voted for the first time here, I voted at a poll. I believe in 88. It wasn't by mail. It was my first, so I remember that. And living in South Dakota and Arkansas, I voted in person somewhere. And this whole mail-in thing is new for me. I did it at the primary, and I dropped it off at the county office. So what is that process? What would you recommend voters do when they got the pamphlet now, right? They need to go through it and study it. And I want to remind folks, on Friday, we're going to go through the pamphlet and talk about the different candidates. And so you want to tune in on Friday. Cynthia and I will do that. But you want to go through the voter pamphlet and really see what these folks are standing for, right?
Correct.
And then from there, they get their ballot in the mail. They need to pull out their pamphlet, and then they need to go through their ballot. And there is instructions in the front of the pamphlet on how to fill out your ballot accurately. Then in Marion County, they give us another voter pamphlet with some more details, right? And so then they fill it out. What do you recommend? What do you think they should do?
After filled out?
Mm-hmm.
I personally take mine down and put it in the drop box in front of the courthouse.
That's what I do, too.
I question dropping it off at Ross. Nothing against Ross.
Right.
But in Portland a few years back, the ballots were counted. So-and-so was declared winner, and lo and behold, here showed 10,000 more ballots that were in the trunk of a car.
That's crazy.
And it switched the winner.
It's crazy. And, you know, I think about this. I love my postal service. But would I mail myself $1,000 cash? No. What's your ballot worth? I think it's worth a lot. And so we want to hand drop it off at the county courthouse. We'll be back. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Having a wonderful conversation this morning. And you can call in and join the conversation, 503-589-1220.
Good morning. It's a good morning.
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. It's 8:50 in the morning already. Almost at 7:50. Still getting broke in on this hour or two. Enjoying my time. Thank you so much, Jack L.S., for being here today. We are having fun in the studio talking about campaigning. And I'm just so proud of you, Jack, for dedicating your time, treasure, and talent to be bold and brave and say, yes, I will represent a District 21 in the House. And you've run before, right? You've done this before. You have a little bit of experience, right?
That is correct.
Yes. And so what you're learning through this process, being a part of the citizen lobby, knowing how it works in Oregon, having a sense of where Oregon needs to go, what is some hope? Let's talk about some hope for Oregon. What do you hope for Oregon?
I hope for growth in business.
Mm-hmm.
Business is employment.
Mm-hmm.
Business and employment are more taxes for the state to help the programs of the state.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain social programs that need to be in place within our state.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for that to transpire, there has to be income. Now, unfortunately, in my opinion, the Democrats figure income has an inexhaustible resource with the public and just throws on more taxes, i.e., in the special session special session, which was supposed to be for this and this.
Right, right.
They snuck in a tax on telephones for broadband in Eastern Oregon.
Interesting.
Any chance they have, they will put a tax in there. And at the forum last week, Brian was bragging about how he voted for all these taxes, including the grocery sales tax.
Hmm. Well, and I'm sure their philosophy is, you know, they want to give a lot of things away for free. And my philosophy is it's important those that have needs, that we come alongside those as a safety net temporarily to help them get back on their feet, right, as a safety net, but not a long-term solution, because we cause people to be very dependent and then they feel entitled, right, that they're owed this. Well, someone's got to pay that, right? And so you're elected, you want to look at that, and you want to bring true hope and help businesses come to the area, right?
That's correct. But what we're doing right now, I have to put this in, is with all these social programs, it's moving closer and closer to socialism.
Mm.
In fact, if you listen, quite often it's called the Democrat Socialist Party.
Mm.
Now, socialism is a beautiful form of government. I'll sit here and say that.
Mm.
Until the people up at the top run out of money, and then it collapses.
Oh, interesting, interesting. I heard an expression the other day, everybody's so big about social distancing, to do socialist distancing at the polls this year. And anybody that has those tendencies, and certainly we know, and we're seeing this from the top level with Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, we're seeing some of this happening there, where they're wanting to, free this, free that. You know, you can get everything for free. Somebody's got to pay the price, right? And it's always interesting for me. It seems like I've noticed a lot of teenagers, you know, like, yes, free medicine, free college education, free. And then they start working and they like, why are they taking these taxes out? How come they're taking so much out of my paycheck? It's all, hello, it's all those free things, right? Someone's got to pay for that. And it certainly, they become capitalists over time, right?
That goes back to our schools,
mm-hmm.
because they are not teaching history and civics.
True.
They should be teaching this information. As a finance officer, I know if I'm going to spend this, I'd better find some place for it to come in.
Mm-hmm.
There's a balance there.
Yeah.
And our young people are not being properly educated in the total picture.
Well, and I think we have a responsibility as parents and grandparents to make sure that our children are raised up in the practicality of a budget and how, you know, the cost and the expense. I used to tell my kids when we went to a grocery store, and they're like, can I have this? Or one of the retail stores, can I have this? Or can I? They said, yes. But, you know, mommy makes this much per hour. How many hours does she have to work to pay for these things? And they're like, whoa, didn't know that. You know, so just basic things that we have gotten away from. And so parents at home need to do it, and the teachers, we need to get our school curriculum in order, don't we?
We need to get our society in order, too, mm-hmm. Stacy. many of, I'm going back to urban mm-hmm. rather than rural, because mm-hmm. rural living is totally different
it's
than
so true.
Urban. Many of the families are half families mm-hmm. in the urban area. And the one parent at home is putting in so much time working, he or she does mm-hmm. not have the time to work with the children like yep. they should.
Yep.
And that's a problem of our society.
Well, and it's impacting families right now with the COVID and trying to do distance learning at home with and still work. There's been some challenges, some unique challenges that we never even, there's no way we could have forecast what we're going through right now. And so I see it, again, looking at the positive side, as a chance to look at where we've been and reset and do some things differently. And we're doing that at the ballot box in November, right?
The ballot box... Well, today.
Start today, yes.
The ballots were mailed out, the first ballots, yesterday.
Okay.
So some ballots will be hitting your mailbox today.
Okay.
Now, as Stacia said previously, do your research and get those ballots marked and in. Mm-hmm. Don't put them over here by the bread box where they get lost
right.
and forgotten.
In the shuffle, yeah.
And I'm going to put a plea out.
Yes.
In the last election, 80-some percent of the Republicans voted, 80-some percent of the Democrats voted. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But the non-aligned voters, which is the largest voting bloc in the state of Oregon, 20-some percent voted.
Mm.
You people who have been dissatisfied with both the Republican and the Democrat Party and signed up as non-aligned or been signed up as non-aligned through voter registration,
mm-hmm.
you need to get your voice out there. Get your opinions out there, look at the candidates, and the ones that you agree with their philosophies, vote for and get your vote in.
Get it into the county courthouse. How can people get a hold of you and support you, Jack?
They can go on the internet at jackleeesp2020.us.
Okay.
And that's three E's in a row there in the middle to confuse some people.
Okay. So we will put this link up on this podcast too, where people can get a hold of you and support you. And I'm guessing if they want to write a donation check, that'd be all right?
There's a donation button on that, and it wouldn't only be all right, it'd be greatly appreciated. If you read the Statesman Journal,
mm-hmm.
I've had $3,800 so far. My opponents had $54,000.
Yes.
It's kind of hard to compete.
Big, big difference. But we are believing that people are going to vote differently in right now. We say November 3rd. That's when they tally everything. But right now, in your mailbox, within the next few days, you have an opportunity to get your ballot, do your due diligence, take responsibility, and get your ballot into your county courthouse. You and I, we can make a difference. And I'm excited. I'm a little anxious for the tally, what's going to happen in the next few weeks. But there's a lot of good that can, we could turn this around. I really believe that. And I know I've been accused at times of being Pollyanna and positive and optimistic. But man, what a big difference we can make for all of us if we show up and vote.
I'd like to say one thing. My vote doesn't count. Burns me.
Oh.
There's recently an election that went through and was won by 7 votes.
Oh, my.
I have heard of one that was won by 1 vote, but I can't attest to
it. Yes. So we do need to all do our due diligence and show up and vote. Thank you for being a part of the show this morning.
My pleasure.
All right. Congratulations. I'm looking forward to calling you my representative.
I'd appreciate it.
We're speaking it into being. You have a wonderful day. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Wednesday and every day, no matter what you're facing today. Yeah, I know there's a lot going on right now. Maybe you're that struggling parent with distance learning at home and didn't like the good news or not so good news last night at the school board. Remember, though, we'll get through this over, under, around, or through. You and I, we're overcomers. Have a great day. Thank you, my friends.